chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 5. We're coming back to our study on sound doctrine. We've been studying on the doctrine of God for many, many weeks now, and we're in the middle of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm continuing with this thought. I remind you that when I get all of this done, completed, I'll give you my notes if you desire them, because I am all the way down by the time I get done with today, which I'm preaching on this all day today, this morning and tonight, I am on page 41 of my notes. So there's no reason to try to keep up with me, okay? I'll make this available to you when it's all said and done. And I want these young men from Crown College to know that I'm not going to be homiletically correct this morning, okay? I'm going to give a lot of information, a lot of things, and I encourage that this will be a blessing to you as we turn our thoughts on a major topic concerning the Holy Spirit of God. I'm convinced that what I'm preaching on today is the need that we have. I'm talking about, centered around the Holy Spirit of God, this thought that I'm going to bring out today and preach on it all day long, God willing. This is what our homes need. This is what our individual lives need. It's what our marriages need. It's what our church needs. It's what our Sunday school classes need. Our bus routes need. Our leaders need. Our laymen need. Our staff needs. Your pastor needs. You getting the idea? This is it. I'm convinced that if we will focus here, it would correct a number and multitude of other things. Hope I got your attention. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless today, speak to our hearts, challenge us through the Word of God. May you be honored and glorified and praised. In Jesus' name, amen. In our study on the Holy Spirit, we've already considered His titles, His types, and His traits. We are currently under number 4, His treatment. Now, I remind you that this fourth major thing that we're looking at concerning the Holy Spirit of God is how He can be treated. In other words, what we can do with Him and what we can do to Him. Some of them are negative. Some of them are positive. I've already preached on the negative ones. Today, we begin our study on the positive treatment of the Holy Spirit of God. In other words, what we can do with Him or what we can do to Him. We've already looked at the negative. Now let's look at the positive. You know, while there are several negative things, I've already preached on it, you can go back and get it, that we can do to or with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God also gives several positive things that we are to do with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, these are the things that we should strive to do for the glory of God. And as I was considering these things that we can do with and we should do with the Holy Spirit, the Lord began to show me that all of these positive things can be summarized under one major topic. And that is this. We should be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The word filled means to be controlled by. As a matter of fact, the Word of God plainly teaches us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it is the will of God for God's people to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says in verse 18 of Ephesians 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Look here, please. I'm just getting started. It is God's will for God's children to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is God's will for God's children to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I want to give you several thoughts all day long today as we do a Bible study on being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Lord has taught me this week. He's challenged me this week. He's burdened me this week. And one of the main things He's burdened me about is Jody, son, this is the answer to life. There's no question in my mind. And I'm convinced of this, people who think they are filled are not. And some people who think they're not, they are. I'm convinced of it. Now, I want to ask you a question today, and I want you to think about you. I'm thinking about me. I want you to think about you. Don't think about anybody but yourself. Number one, are you saved? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you have never trusted Christ, you cannot be filled with the Spirit of God because He doesn't live in you. But if you are saved, and I'm preaching to those who are saved all day today, I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be careful before you answer it. Are you really Spirit-filled? Are you really, truly filled with the Spirit of God? Now, let's look at this together. I want to give you several things today. Number one, now I'm plowing towards a main point we're going to spend the bulk of our time, but there's a few introductory thoughts. Number one under this, let's just look at the meaning of being Spirit-filled, the meaning of it. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? Let me give you an illustration. This kind of summarizes it up. It sums it up. It helps us understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. See, the indwelling of the Spirit of God takes place once. That's salvation. But the filling of the Spirit of God takes place multiple times. Now, stay with me here. Let's say that a guest is invited to your home. But upon entering your home, he's immediately confined to a small room somewhere near the front door. In other words, he's in the house, but he's confined just to a certain part of it. Now, for a while, he may even be forgotten by his host. He's in the house, but he's just in a corner over here somewhere. Finally, the owner of the house is convicted concerning his shabby treatment of the house guest, so he comes and he gives the guest free access to every room in the home now. In other words, the guest comes in the home, but at first you say you can go right there in the lobby, but don't go anywhere else. He's in the home. He's already inside, but he's not filled it yet. Because he's confined to the lobby area, and then you go to him and say, wait a minute, I'm not treating you right. I want you to have free access, roam around anywhere in the house, look through every corner, every nook, every cranny, whatever that means, look through it all. Yeah, I'm giving you free access to every room in the house. Now stay with me here. In this illustration, the Holy Spirit, of course, is the invited guest. The host is the believing sinner, and the house stands for our life. See, the difference then between the indwelling and the filling is the difference between being confined in a small room somewhere or being given free access to all the rooms. The filling, therefore, does not mean, look here please, being filled does not mean that you get more of the Holy Ghost. It means the Holy Ghost gets more of you. Did you hear what I just said? You get all of the Holy Ghost there is when you trust Jesus Christ. He moves inside. You do not get any more of the Holy Ghost. But we can give more of us to Him. I asked you a question this morning. Let's stop sugarcoating life. And I ask us all a question. Have you given the Holy Spirit free rein in every room of your life? Or is there a closet that's locked off? Is there a room that you say you can go everywhere but not there, God? I'll give you this, but I will not give you that. If there's a room locked off in your life, look here, please. You are not Spirit-filled. It's impossible. The meaning is that you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God and you allow Him to fill every room of your life, to control every room of your life, and you are now living under His control. Number two, not only do we see the meaning of it, but number two, we see the need for it. The need to be Spirit-filled. Now, here's how the Lord spoke to me, and then I'm going to get started with the message, okay? Because number three starts the message. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 18, it says this, and Jesus, now I can't explain this. I don't even fully know what it means. But it says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 18. And when the Lord got up and he began to quote Scripture, here's what he quoted: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He, the Spirit of God, hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Acts chapter 10, verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I don't understand it, but here's how God spoke to me. This goes to show that since the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, don't you think we need to be also? We should definitely be filled with the Spirit of God if Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus being filled and being anointed with the power of His Spirit shows us our great need of this same filling. Number one, the meaning of it. Number two, the need for it. Jesus had it. We need it. Amen. Number three, let's, if I can, slow down. Because this is the message. There's two more major points. I'm going to be in this point all day today, okay? Number three, we see the evidence of being Spirit-filled. The evidence. Now, make no mistakes about it. When a child of God is truly filled with the Spirit of God, it will show. You cannot hide being filled with the Spirit of God. It shows when you are. I don't mean it shows to you. It shows to others. Now, folks, you're in Galatians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 5. Let me put it this way. If you're trying to keep notes with me, here it is. When you are filled, there will be dot, 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 number one. Are you with me? When you're filled, there will be, let's fill in the blank, all day today, okay? Just going to get one of these this morning because there's like 11 points under this. Homiletically incorrect, guys. Don't listen to that. All right, here we go. Number one, the evidence. If you're filled with the Spirit, number one, there will be fruit. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 22 and following. The Bible says, but the fruit, now notice that is not plural. It doesn't say the fruits. It says the fruit, singular. The fruit of the Spirit, here it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse number 9. Ephesians 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, when you put those two passages together, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, and there are, let me see here, there are 11 of these, if my memory serves, yes, there are 11 of these. Now, again, this is a doctrinal study, so all I'm doing is surveying. I'm not trying to go into depth. Every one of these deserves an individual sermon. I'm not doing that. It's survey work, okay? We're just surveying the Holy Spirit of God. So we're going to survey this. If you're truly filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be His fruit in your life. Now let's look at this. Number one, first of all, under this, there will be the fruit of love. This is it. I'm working down through Galatians first. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. There is love. This word love is the word agape. Agape love. That word agape love is God's love. Look here, please. You glad God loves you today? You may tell you how He loves you? Unconditionally. You may tell you what agape love is? It's sacrificial love. Agape love has no conditions tied to it. I'm glad that God loves me no matter what I do. God loves the world. This same word, agape love, this same word is the word used in John 3:16. For God so loved, He so agaped the world. What kind of love is that? That's a love that loves your enemies. That's a love that would give up your own son for somebody who hates you. That's a love that's beyond description. It's indescribable. It's indestructible. Folks, it's indestructible. You cannot fully understand the love of God. But if you're filled with His Spirit, you will love others like He loves you. The Bible says in Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on charity. That word charity is agape, love. It's the same word. Put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Romans 5:5, same word. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God, the agape of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let me ask you a question. Do you love others like God loves them? Do you love others like God loves them? Look here, please. Is there anybody in this life, anybody in this life that you don't like? I'll tell you one thing, I can't stand that person. I hope he gets what's coming to him. I'll tell you one thing, I hope I get to watch when he goes down. Look here, please. That is flesh. That is an unfilled Christian talking. Amen. Folks, listen to me, please. What I'm giving you today will change your life if you'll let it. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, you will love others like God loves them. Is there anybody you don't like? Can I go as far as to say, is there anybody you hate? Hate. You cannot be filled with the Spirit of God and hate anybody. You can hate the devil, amen. I'm not talking about the spirit world. I'm talking about fellow man. This is the first fruit. How you doing so far? How am I doing so far? Do I really love with an unconditional, sacrificial love? And no matter how they respond, I'm just going to keep loving them. Hey, don't you think being filled with the Spirit would help some marriages? Amen or not? I'll tell you one thing, if he'd just treat me better, or if she'd just do what I ask her to do, it'd make it a whole lot easier on me, hogwash. Whatever that is, hogwash. This right here is missing. This is missing. This love of God that just says, I'm going to love you, I don't care what you do, I'm just going to keep on loving you. That's missing today. Amen. Amen. I'll amen myself. I'm telling you, this is it. Let's go to the next one. Not only love, but number two, there will be joy. You know what that word joy means? It means cheerfulness and calm delight is what it means. Beautiful word, isn't it? Cheerfulness and just calm delight. The Bible says in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you a question. Can others see joy in you? Joy. One man put it this way. He takes away the sadness, the gloom, all bitterness. He takes away strife, envy, animosity. He takes out of your heart all those things which hinder you from living a victorious, happy life. Let me ask you a question. Do others see a joyful Christian in you? Or do you drag people down? When somebody's around you, does it say, man, it must be good to be a Christian? Or do they say, good night, there he comes again, let me go the other way? Look here, please. Some people may go the other way because they're not right with God. You understand? But if our spirit drags people down,
Everything just awful. I mean, I'm telling you one thing. In 10 years from now, America's going to be gone. Our church is going to be gone. Everything's doom and gloom. That is not the feeling of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. I'm riled this morning, friends, because I am convinced that I've not been Spirit-filled like I should be. And if everybody would look in the mirror and say, me too, preacher. Me too, pastor. And get my eye off that person, off this person, and look in the mirror and say, God, fill me fresh and new. It changed this country, friends. It changed our churches. It changed all this negativity and all these kind of things. Number one, we have the fruit of love, God's love, the fruit of joy. Then number three, here it is. This kind of builds on itself. Number three, peace. Peace. This word peace means quietness. It means a rest. It means a rest, a quietness. Philippians 4:7 puts it this way, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace has been defined as reassurance in tribulation. In other words, your world may be falling apart, but you just are assured in your heart. There's a quietness in your heart. There's a rest in your heart because you know God is in control. Now, are you ruled by this peace? This peace only comes from the Spirit of God. See, this is why the world cannot get it. Because peace is not something to be achieved. Peace is a person to accept and to submit to. His name is Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit of God, when you turn your life over to Him, He gives you His peace. Are you at rest this morning? Is there quietness inside? Can't you see when you look around the world today, the unrest, the noise? Can I put it that way? Just the noise, the loudness. When the Holy Spirit of God fills an individual, He brings quietness, rest, calmness. Is that how your home is? Is there a calmness at home? A rest at home? A quietness at home, then what's the problem? It's her! It's him! It's this one! No, it's this one. Me, myself, and I, somebody in that home is not filled with the Spirit of God. I'm trying to help you today, friends. You know, I'm learning more and more. Who was it that said he counseled three times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? I'm learning that more and more. If folks would listen to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and say, I'm going to submit to that, it'd take care of a lot of problems. Spirit-filled, there's evidence. What's the evidence? Love, joy. Peace. Here we go. Number four, long suffering. You know what that word means? What it sounds like. Suffering long. Long suffering. It means forbearance. It means patience. Okay? This has also been defined as the ability to cheerfully bear an unbearable situation and to patiently endure the unendurable. Do you manifest the patience of God toward others? Let me ask you a question. Are you glad? By the way, your answer should be yes, okay? Are you glad God is patient with you? By the way, has God been patient with us? Come on, friends. I know me. And sometimes I'm like, God, I don't know how in the world you put up with me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, we just kick the traces. We do something we know God didn't want us to do. We go ahead and do it anyway. We hold that in our heart. Shouldn't be there. I'm just telling you, how patient is God? By the way, one of these days, his patience is going to run out with this world. And I'll guarantee you this, you don't want to be here when it does. But we learn here that if his Spirit is filling us, we're going to be like him. Well, what is he? He is love. He is joy. See where I'm going? He is peace. He is long-suffering. And if you're filled with him, you're controlled by him, you're going to be what he is, which means you're going to be patient with other people. Let's be honest. Don't raise your hand, but no doubt in a crowd this size, we have some impatient people. It might even be a stronghold. You just, somebody does something, steps out of line, and you just, that's not the Spirit of God. You know what this preaching does right here? It just plows on our row. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's just plowing on our row. It's just common, applicable truths for everyday life. And I'm plowing all day long. I'm plowing towards this thought: are you really filled with the Spirit? Are you really? Because if you are, there's going to be evidence. You're going to love like God loves. You're going to have joy, cheerfulness, not drag people down. You're going to have peace no matter what's going on. There's quietness, a shh in your spirit. You're going to be long-suffering, patient with others. Number five, there's gentleness. This word gentleness means kindness. You're kind. This has also been defined as a quiet and respectful kindness. You're just gentle. You're kind. Do others really see a kind person in you? You're just kind. Or you're just going to speak your mind. They don't like it. That's their problem. That's just how I feel. I'm just going to say it anyway. Not Spirit-filled. That's not filled with the Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be gentle. By the way, where would we be if God was not a gentle God? Number six. Goodness. You know what this means? This means virtue or active goodness or kindness. It's wholesome acts. It's going the extra mile. In other words, you're not just kind in your demeanor. You prove it with how you treat others. That's kindness and goodness together. See how that works together? Kindness is, that's just a kind person, gentle person. I'm going to tell you something. That's a good man right there. You know what that means? That means he goes out of his way to help his fellow man. Here's the next one. Faith. Faith. This means assurance and belief in God. It also means something else. Listen to this. When an individual is filled with the Spirit of God, look here please. When he's filled with the Spirit of God, he will be filled with faith in God. Did you hear what I just said? If he's filled with the Spirit of God, he will believe God. Being Spirit-filled does not bring doubt. It brings faith. Let me ask you a question. I'm right here with you. I'm guilty. There's a dart stuck in my heart right here because I'm guilty. Do we have any worry warts here? I call it the what-if syndrome. What if I get this? And what if this happens? And what if that takes place? And what if that person gets elected? And what if that takes place? And what if I call it the what-if syndrome. You know what that is? Not being Spirit-filled. Because when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we will not be ruled by doubt and fear. We will be ruled by faith and trust in God. That's what he does. That's who he is. You know what this word can also mean, faith? Not only means belief and trust in him, it can also mean constancy. Constant. In other words, in this word as well can mean that when a person is Spirit-filled, he'll not only be filled with faith, he will be faithful. Did you hear that? You show me somebody who's not faithful as a Christian. They're not a faithful spouse. They're not a faithful parent. They're not a faithful friend. They're not a faithful Christian. They're not a faithful person. They are not filled with the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. Is God faithful? Yes or no? It's not a trick question. Sure he is. So if you're filled and controlled by him, you'll be what he is. You'll be faithful. This stuff's so simple, it's ridiculous, isn't it? But isn't it showing us? Isn't it showing us? Let me give you another one. Meekness. Now, this word meekness means humility. Now, listen to this. This has also been defined as subdued strength. Subdued strength. A spirit-filled man does not manifest self-promotion and pride. He does not lift himself up, but rather he's meek and humble. It refers to power under control. This is what meekness means. It means he empties himself. He's broken about himself. Here's what it means. It means that he will not defend himself, but he will die defending God. That's what it means. For instance, Moses. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Now the man Moses was very meek." Meek, meekness. He was very meek. "Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Yet that meek man came down from the mountain, and seeing the golden calf and the dancing, he got angry, broke the tables with the commandments. He took the calf, he burned it in fire, ground it to powder, threw it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it." It's not weakness. It's not weakness. It's meekness. It's this: I'm not going to promote myself, but I'm not going to let you demote my God. That's meek. That's meekness. Take the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew 11, 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am" what? "I am meek." But yet you see the Lord going into the temple with the money changers and throwing over their tables. "Get out of here." He drove them out. It's not weakness. In these cases, it's being consumed with God and God's glory and not getting tied up in me. Let me give you the next one. Got three more and I'm done. Temperance. Temperance. By the way, I hope you'll come back tonight and hear as we keep on plowing forward with this. What's the second evidence? Come back tonight, I'll give it to you. This is all one evidence. There'll be fruit. Temperance, it means self-control. This means that one is disciplined. His life is crucified. He's living according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. He does not allow the flesh to control him. The Spirit is controlling him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Romans 8:13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Look at Galatians chapter 5. You're there. Look at chapter 5 and verse number 16 and notice this. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness." All these, you get it. Look at verse number 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are to Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." The bottom line is this: when you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, your flesh is not calling the shots. The Holy Spirit is. You're not living according to feeling. You're living according to faith. Let's be honest. Sometimes you feel like just letting somebody have it, right? And let's be honest, they probably deserve it. Sometimes. Now, never me. If you ever want me to, it's your fault, never my fault. No, I'm just kidding with you. You ever just want to get in the flesh? Sure. You ever gotten in it? Be careful. Your answer's yes. So is mine. We all get in the flesh. But when you're filled, you won't. You want to, but the Holy Spirit of God says, uh-uh. And you're disciplined and you say, "I will not do that." Let's be honest. When do we get in trouble? When we're in the flesh. Let me give you two more and I'm done here, okay? Righteousness. This is going to the book of Ephesians now. We've already talked about goodness because there it says goodness again. But then it also says righteousness and truth. Now the word righteousness here means equity of character or act. This has to do with living right. Doing right acts. Righteousness. You will live like God. In other words, a spirit-filled Christian will be known for righteousness, not worldliness. Look here, please. For those who know you the best, those are the people that know who you really are. How you think, how you talk, how you act, how you respond, what you listen to, how you speak. You get it. Those that know you the best, would they, if they had to, and they had your name saying, and put your name here, such and such is righteous or worldly? Which one would they circle? Let me put it this way. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, God would circle, he's righteous. He's like me. Do you live like God? I'm telling you, friends. I know, I understand. You hear something like this and it's like, how can anybody be filled? How in the world is anybody filled? I mean, nobody passes that. The beauty of it is God's a patient God. He loves us. And if he commands us to be filled, it is possible to be filled. I'm not going to get to that today. I'm sorry. That'll be later. But I'm just trying to shine the light on this. Let me give you the final thought for today, okay? And that is truth. This is all under the first evidence. The evidence of being spirit-filled is there will be fruit. And that fruit is 11. It's 11 things. The 11th thing is there will be truth. This word truth here means this is in opposition to errors, it's in opposition to lies, and it's in opposition to hypocrisy. Let me ask you a question. Are there truly hypocrites in God's churches today? Sure. Sure. There are folks who claim to be something when they know in their heart they're not. But when the filling of the Holy Spirit comes, look here please. Or around Halloween time where there's going to be a lot of kids and so on wearing masks and all these other kind of things. A spirit-filled Christian never wears a mask. He takes the mask off. What you see is really what you get. He's the same at home as he is in the pulpit. Well, that cuts me. He's the same at home, she's the same at home as they are when they're up there singing in the choir and just smiling like everything's great. Everything really is great in their life when they're spirit-filled. There's no hypocrisy. No hypocrites. Now, folks, listen to what Jesus said about Nathanael. John chapter 1, verse 47. Listen to this. It says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he saith, here's what he said about Nathanael. He said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Jesus said that about Nathanael. You know what the word guile means when Jesus said, that man has no guile? You know what that word guile means? It means there's no tricks, there's no wiles, there's no deceit, there's no subtlety. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine the Lord looking at a man and saying, there's a man, there's no tricks with him. There's no wiles with him. There's no subtlety in that man. That man is full of truth. Don't you want God to say the same thing about you? My spirit inside cries out, oh God, when you look down in the pulpit of Buffalo Ridge at the young man you've called to preach and pastor this church of yours, when you look down at that man, may the Lord Jesus Christ point his finger and say, people, come over here just a minute. See that young man down there. I'm trying to say young as often as I can. See that young man down there. Look at him. I want to tell you something about him. There's no guile in him. There's no tricks with him. He's not a hypocrite. There's no wiles. God Almighty, I want that. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. I want to be the real deal. I can't do it. But I can take my spiritual keys of my house and say, Holy Spirit of God, take every key to every door. Move in and out, out and in. Thank you that you're inside me. Glory to God. I want you to clean out every room. I want you to do a spiritual house cleaning. I want you to feel me fresh and new to where there's no tricks inside of me anymore. Glory to God. That's what we need. That's what we need. Only getting started. And the Holy Spirit of God, I feel Him just saying, preach it, son, preach it. That is it. That's what our churches need. That's what our Sunday school classes need. That's what our homes need. That's what our marriages need. That's what our workplaces need. This is what we need to get on our faces and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you that you're inside my life. But I want to give you everything. I want you to feel me fresh and new. I want to have your fruit in my life. Forgive me. Fill me. Use me. Use me. I am yours. Take me completely. This is what we need. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you bless this morning? I thank you for how you've spoken to my own heart. And Father, I confess to you, I have failed. I need a fresh filling, a filling of the Holy Spirit of God to make me more like you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, we're preparing for the invitation. And I ask that unless it's an absolute emergency that you just stay right there for just a few minutes. Because you never know how the Holy Spirit of God may be dealing with somebody on your pew. As they begin to play through softly, I start where the Lord would have me to start. And that is, even though I've preached to Christians this morning about being filled, I wonder, is the Holy Spirit of God even in you? He wants to fill you. But the first thing that must happen is He must be in you. He must dwell in you. Have you know that heaven's your home? You've trusted Christ, no doubt about it. You are going to heaven, and the Holy Spirit of God lives inside you. You know that. Would you raise your hand? You know He lives inside. Amen. Thank you. You can put your hand down. By the way, isn't it good to put your hand up to that? Is there one today say, Jody, I know you didn't preach along this line because you're preaching to Christians, but I'll tell you what I need. I need the Holy Spirit of God in my life. I need to trust Christ. I need to be saved. I don't have peace in my heart that heaven's my home. And would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for anything in the world, but you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. Then let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. Be honest. Be honest. I'm not asking, are you Spirit-filled or are you not? I'm asking, did God speak to you? And if He spoke to you, it could mean that you are Spirit-filled and He's just saying, don't change. Or if He spoke to you, it could be shining a light on something and saying, this right here shows you that I'm not controlling that part of your life. You understand what I'm asking? And you say, Jody, God spoke to me. No question. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God spoke to you today. The Lord used the message today. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. May I help you with this? That's many of you. You ought to whisper in your heart right now, Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to me. You know, it's God's long-suffering and mercy when He speaks to us. Do you understand that? He doesn't have to speak to us, but He does. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to begin to sing. If God has used this in your life, don't be ashamed. Be grateful that God spoke to you. I'm with you today. God spoke to me. And when Brother Gary begins to sing, I'm going to hit a knee right here behind this pulpit and pray. And I invite you, if God's spoken to you, to come to this altar, hit a knee if you can. And let's pray and ask God to fill us fresh and new. As Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do it? Come on.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Bowed, eyes are closed. I want to sing that in just a moment. I feel led as they play through. I feel led to ask all the deacons, man, if you wouldn't mind to come, I want you to come. And I want you to pray that God will fill your pastor fresh and new. Sure, we can pray for ourselves. I get it. I understand that. I encourage you to do that. But I want these dear men to make this a matter of prayer, that God will fill me fresh and new. Just gathering around, praying, begging God for this. The Lord's in it. May God use it. Let's sing this again, shall we?
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Are closed. We're about done here. The Lord's at work. We give Him time and give Him praise. Amen. If you're still seated, you can look this way. We're just about done. Going a little bit over today. A little bit over. But I'm not apologizing for that, because the Lord is in it. As you leave today, there's a basket on the table in the lobby for you to drop your card off if you're coming to the family event. I encourage you to do that. Bring somebody with you. Be back tonight as we continue with this thought. It's what we need. I'd like for Sandra and Miranda to stand. Miss Edens, if you wouldn't mind to stand with them. These are two of our precious girls riding the bus today, and they are both coming and saying that they're putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We're so happy about that. You happy about that? Say amen. I'm going to tell you something. They're standing right there. I'm going to share a thought with you here that God's really used in my life. Hope you don't mind. And of all things, God used Balaam's talking donkey in my life this week. Let me tell you how He used him. Here Balaam is. I'm going somewhere because these precious girls right here. Here Balaam is. He's out of the will of God, and the donkey sees an angel getting ready to kill him. And he gets mad at the donkey. This happens three times. Then all of a sudden the donkey turns his head and starts talking to him. He started having a conversation with his donkey. And Balaam started arguing with his donkey. Said, "I wish I could kill you." Here's how God spoke to me this week. There's a lot of things that can call for distraction over here, isn't there? And we can become so preoccupied that we miss the miracles of God. That was a miracle that donkey was talking. And Balaam was so preoccupied in his own world, he missed what God is doing. You know what I look when I see these precious girls right here? You know what I think of? Talking donkeys. I know that cracks some of you all up, but folks, I'm going to tell you, God used this in my life this week. I'm talking about the things that God's doing in our midst. The things that only God can do. You see these two girls come down the aisle. Let me tell you what it is. Two little miracles right there. Amen. I feel good this morning, friends. I could go all day long today. Not going to do it. Say amen there, right? But let's thank God for the miracles. And say, God, fill me fresh anew and give us more of this right here. Amen. You can be dismissed. Thank you for coming. We're so happy for you. Look at that right there, folks. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit of God now lives inside of them. Two more taken from the clutch of the devil. Given to God. Go forward, friends. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And let's ask God to fill us fresh anew. I gave you three sermons today. Do you understand that? One for help for the home, and then the main sermon, and then this one right here about the talking donkeys. So you got three today. Amen. Let me give you one final announcement. I'm launching a 6 o'clock prayer meeting every Sunday night, starting tonight. I'm going to be praying in the blue room. No pressure. I mean that. No pressure. If you'd like to come pray that God keep His hand upon this church and fill us fresh anew, I'll see you at 6 o'clock. Hope to see you there. But please don't let that pressure you. I mean that. Because I want you to come if God prompts you to come. Okay? Let's stand together, please. Brother Scotty Carey, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer. And please drop your cards off now if you're planning to come on Saturday. Thank you for being here today. Be back tonight, please.